of John in the New Testament. Not the Gospel of John, but the first epistle towards the end of the New Testament before Jude and Revelation. After 1st and 2nd Peter. And the previous time I was here, I preached up until from 1 John 1:5 up until 2 verse 2. But today I want to begin reading in verse 1 just to connect the link of the passage. So we'll, even though I'm going to focus on verses 3 through 11, I'd like to begin reading from verse 1 through 11. 1 John chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may be sure that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen. This ends our reading this morning of God's holy word. May he add his blessing upon it and our meditation of it and my preaching of it. So as I read this passage, a thought comes to my mind. How do we know when we are Christians? This is a dangerous question, even because one way of answering this question could sound a lot like legalism. And then the rejection of legalism may lead to license. And so we don't want to fall in either of those extremes. But John here gives a balanced answer as he says in verse 3, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. That's a heavy statement. We will know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. The fear comes in my mind when I think of all the times I have not kept his commandments. And the question arises, does that mean I don't know him? And I've heard people take this to mean, if you're a Christian, you won't sin. You will always keep his commandments. And I think that's a misunderstanding of what John is saying here in this passage. And that's what I want to seek to unpack as we consider this. We know from other parts of Scripture that we cannot make ourselves Christians by keeping the commandments. But what John is saying here is that if you are a Christian, if you are abiding in Christ, which is what we mean when we say someone is a Christian, that we have union with Christ, then we will keep his commandments. It ties in a lot with what Jesus said, you will know a tree by its fruit. And so they will know we are Christians by our love. There is a change, just like a tree has fruit. If it's healthy, we as Christians, if we are in Christ, we will bear fruit. John is not saying we will be totally perfect on this side of the resurrection, but But he is saying that we will bear fruit. There will be evidence that we are in Christ. My grandfather had several satsuma trees in his yard, and it was always a delight to go over and pick the fruit straight from the tree and eat it and enjoy the fruit. But those trees, in order to have fruit on them, had to be cultivated and cared for and tended to. And in a similar way, we also, in order to have fruit, our soul needs to be cared for and tended to. And we can't just claim it and say that we know him, is what John is getting at in this passage. You can't just take a Christmas tree and stick it in the ground and stick oranges on it and expect them to be good or to grow more. I know that sounds absurd, but it's actually not as absurd as what a lot of Christians do. It is what the people that John is addressing here by saying, whoever says that he walks with him but doesn't is lying. And so we can't just say that we are Christians. We can't just say that we know Jesus. We have to actually know him, dare to get into his presence, to seek his face and plead with him in prayer and walk with him in his presence. And he will make that change in our lives. He will produce that fruit as he is in us. Just like as we read in Psalm 1, the tree transplanted along beside rivers of living water will bear fruit. Just and as us, as we are transplanted alongside or into Christ by the Spirit working on us, then we will bear fruit. The proof that we know him will be a changed life. If there is no change in our life, then it is a sign that we don't really know him. And if we don't know him, then we are still walking in the darkness, even hating his love. But the good news is that we can know him, because he has revealed himself to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18, says that no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's hand side. He has made him known, referring to Jesus, who is at the Father's side. Jesus has made the Father known to us. And so we can know him, and we can bear fruit. This epistle, 1 John, starts with declaring that Jesus is eternal life, joy, and fellowship in the first four verses. And then he explains how this fellowship gives light to walk free from sin. And it seems like John writes with these this series of chains I may have mentioned before. But here again, we see another, and that's why I included verses 1 and 2 that emphasize our forgiveness and freedom from sin. And then it introduces this next point in verse 3, which is the main point of this whole section. The proof that we have come to know God is that we will keep his commandments. And the way I've titled this is that knowing God produces his love in us, or Christ himself produces his love in us. John tells us how we can expect to see change when we know God. And he is correcting three lies in these verses. In the previous verses, from verse 5 of chapter 1 up until chapter 2, verse 2, John said, if we say, three different times. And the last time I preached, I focused on those three if we say statements. But now it's curious that, again, he repeats another series of three statements saying, whoever says, in the ESV translation, they translated it, whoever says. So in verse 4, he says, whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And then in verse 6, whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And then in verse 9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in the darkness. So these three whoever says will be our nails to hang these three points that I see just as I study this passage that I'd like to focus on. Yet I would like to look at it from the other side, on the positive light of these three statements. So the first point that we see in verses 4 and 5, knowing God changes us, or you could say enables us to obey him, to keep his commandments. And then in the second point that we see in verses 6 through 8, abiding in him brings his commandments to life in our inner self. As he says, the The light is already shining. The true light is already shining. And then the third point that I see in verses 9 through 11, seeing the light of God enables us to love. And so let's look at each of these. Starting in the first point, knowing God changes us to be able to obey Him. In verses 4 and 5, in some ways he's saying we don't truly know Him if we don't want to obey His commandments. The first lie here is to say that we know Him. Whoever says that they know Him but does not keep His commandments is lying by saying that they know Him. Whoever says this, their disobedience shows the lie of what they're saying about knowing Him. And so John calls out that lie. And the point is that it is impossible to know God and belittle His commandments, totally reject them. If we don't care to keep His commandments, then we really don't know Him. And this is different from struggling with sin. As I mentioned, the fear and the concern in the beginning, I don't think John is saying that if you ever sin, or if you ever struggle with sin, but what it looks like John is saying is, I look at all of the letter, that if you don't have any interest in keeping His commandments, then you're lying if you say that you know Him. It seems that John is responding to someone who is willfully disobeying God's commands. And in verse 5, he says, to truly know Him leads us to keep His word. He says the love of God is perfected in Him. And this means that the love of God changes a person when they know Him, and it leads them to fulfill God's purposes to the point that they begin to delight in His word. If we delight in Him, then we delight in what He says. If we know Him, then we will delight in Him, and then we will also want to do what he wants. If we think of someone that you love, that you really have great respect and care for, Mother's Day, as you consider your mothers, and you want to please them because you're thankful for all that they've done for you. And in a similar way, this love for someone that is special, who you really want to please, you will look for things that you know that they like. And you will want to do those things because you know that it will please them out of love for them. And in a similar way, this is how wanting to do what God has revealed to us that He likes will manifest itself in our lives. As we know Him, we will love Him and seek to obey His commandments. And if we don't have any interest in obeying His commandments, John is saying, I don't think you really know Him if you don't care to obey His commandments. But if you do know Him, then you will seek to obey His commandments and struggle against sin. Because really, if you give yourself over to sin, then you're not struggling with it. But if you're struggling with sin, then you don't want to do it. You're not trying to do it, and you're resisting it. You're struggling, you're fighting against it because you want to obey. And that is a fruit, a result of knowing Him that will make us want to obey Him. And then, as we continue in the rest of verse 5, this interior change is the confirmation that we have come to know Him. As He says, by this we may be sure that we are in Him. It's what Jesus said, that you will know a tree by its fruit, as I mentioned earlier. It's one thing to say that you know God or know the things about Him, but it is another thing altogether when He enters into your life and He rules in your life and He lets you be truly known. He causes you to experience that He really knows you. And that will change us as we know Him, as we walk with Him, as we do know Him, then it will change us. But what does this mean to know Him and to be known by Him? I might say that I know Augustine or Calvin or Luther because I've read some of their works, but I don't really know them personally because I never talked to them. I never was in their presence. I just know things that they said. In the same way, it is not enough to just simply read Scripture and fill our head with information about the way God thinks. This sounds like a dangerous thing because God does speak through His Word. And there is something powerful in the Word of God, but if we just treat it like a text, as information, and we are not being moved by the Spirit through it, then it's just information. But God has given us His Word, and He does, His Spirit does work through His Word to cause us to know Him through His Scripture. But it's not enough to just take information from it without engaging with the God who wrote it. The gospel is much more than an ideology. It's much more than an idea. We need a personal encounter with the God who wrote these words by His Spirit working in us through faith in Christ, and which is accomplished through the indwelling of the Spirit. As Paul says in Ephesians 3, he prays that the Spirit would strengthen us so that Christ can dwell in our hearts and help us to know the height and depth and length and width with all the saints of the fullness of His love and be filled with all of His fullness. And that is the sense that we need as we walk through the Scriptures, as we use His Word. We need His Spirit to enable us, strengthen us, so that Christ will dwell in us. And then we will know Him through His Word. We cannot know Him without His Word, but we cannot know Him without the Spirit applying His Word to us and in and through us. And then what does it mean to keep His commandments? The Pharisees thought that it was to keep the Sabbath, but they lost the purpose of the Sabbath when they oppressed the very people on the Sabbath that God wanted to free on the Sabbath. And in other words, you could say that they obeyed without obeying. We all fail to keep His commandments in some ways, but we have the forgiveness through the cross, and we have the encouragement that we are not alone. A simple failing does not mean that we don't know God. John's point here is not to say that if we don't keep His commandments, we are lost. He is saying that we need to know God personally to be able to keep His commandments. The gospel is good news, and this is why God has drawn near to us in Christ to show us His glory and to change us. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. And Christ was with us, with other people in the first century, walked with them. And then He went, before He left, He said, "Do not be afraid. I am going away so that I can send you my Spirit." And now His Spirit is with us now. And His Spirit, we are dependent on His Spirit to work in us, to enable us to know Him and to walk according to His ways, and to sanctify us, and to lead us to repentance, and daily walking in His grace and following Him. To know God will produce a love that will want to obey Him. If we want to but struggle with it or have difficulty, then we can seek His face in His Word to know Him better. And be able, we can ask His Holy Spirit to sanctify us, to work in us, and to regenerate us, and to change us from the inside as He sanctifies us. And then we can truly know Him through the means that He has given us. And so I ask the question, I assume that you do, but it's still worth asking, do you know Him like this? As the Word reveals to us that we can know Him. And if you don't, are you ready to? Because He has promised. He already knows you. And He wants you to know Him in a similar way. That's why He has given us His Word and His Spirit to work in us and to enable. He has promised that if we ask, He will give what we ask. And that the main answer to that is the Holy Spirit who works in us and changes us and conforms us more and more to His image. And the lack of that is what John is saying is a liar who says they know Him, but don't have any of this, and don't obey His commandments. But if we know Him, then He will produce in us. And now he goes on to explain in the second point more about these commandments that we see in verses 6 through 8. Abiding in God brings these commandments to life. We will act like Jesus if we have fellowship with Him. This is the second lie that John is correcting. Whoever says he abides in Him And he basically is saying that it isn't possible to abide in God without beginning to act like Jesus, to walk in the way that he walked. What does it mean to abide in him? What does it mean to walk as he walked? The way to walk means a way of living. The things that we do, how we treat people, our neighbors, our family, the way we treat them is one of the main ways that we walk according to his way of walking, the way he treated others. The light of Christ is contagious. I think of when Moses was up on the mountain and he came down after being in the Lord's presence. His face shone. It was evident. They could see that he had been in the presence of God. When we abide in his presence by his Holy Spirit working in us through his word, it will be evident. We're not going to have the same glow that Moses had, but it will be evident through us as people see us if we are abiding in him. Jesus exhorted us in John 15 also to abide in him. And it will produce changes in our lives and in our behavior. The reality is that we naturally imitate those who we spend time with, our surroundings, the way God made us, the way we are. It's common for children to start having the same mannerisms as their parents. As much as they try not to, even adopted children will start to act like the parents that are raising them, the people that they spend the most time around. I remember things that my father would do, and I didn't like them, and I tried to avoid them, and now I find myself doing them. And then I even see my son doing some of the same mannerisms, the same things. There's just the way we are, that we imitate. We're like sponges. We imitate those who we spend time with, those who we are around most. And so, if we want to act like Jesus, the more we spend time in his word, in prayer, through his means of grace, the more we will begin to act like him. If we don't begin to start acting like Jesus, it is a sign that we are not abiding with him. And we are spending more time around other examples apart from him. So what are you abiding in? Who are you abiding with? If we want to see fruit in our lives, the best way is to spend time abiding with him. And then John says that he has not changed the teaching of the old commandments of his word, or that God has not changed. He's not writing a new commandment, but an old one. And it almost appears that verse 7 is a parenthesis. After saying that the evidence of knowing him, and even in the ESV, it has a new subtitle to mark it off as a separate section. But I think it fits in with the previous section. But we could also see it as chain links where it's beginning to lead to the next section, but it's still part of this main point that we see in verse 3. That the evidence of knowing him is that we will obey his commandments, and that walking according to his way is proof that we abide in him. And he seems to respond to a question that might come up: how do we obey his commandments? And he refers to what Jesus said in the gospel, that John also quoted in his gospel, about the new commandment to love. Jesus said something very similar to what John is saying here in this epistle. He explains that it is not really a new commandment, but it is the same commandment that God taught through Moses. He has always given the commandment to love God and our neighbor. That's not a new commandment to love. Jesus said it was I give you a new commandment, love your neighbor. But that's not a new commandment. It's always been a commandment that God gave through Moses to love our neighbor. But here in verse 8, he says that it is a new commandment. After he said it's not a new commandment, he's saying that it is strengthened. He has strengthened the commandment with his presence shining in us. And this is what I believe Jesus was getting at in what John said in the Gospels and what John is repeating here in this epistle, that what makes it new is the way that Jesus gives it. Now, he gives it with his example and with his presence. And this is a reference, it seems to me to be a reference to Jeremiah 31 about the new covenant. In verses 33 and 34, it speaks of how God will give a new law in our minds and he will write it in our heart. And Jesus said it is a new commandment. And here in verse 8, the new commandment, he says, John says, it is true in him and in you. And then he says, because the true light is already shining. It seems he's saying that now the light of Christ is in our hearts. Just as God prophesied through Jeremiah, and he also prophesied it through Ezekiel 36:27, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. The same thing that John is saying here in this epistle is what God already said through Ezekiel and through Jeremiah, that he will put his spirit in us and cause us to walk according to his ways and to be careful to walk in his statutes and be careful to obey his rules. And this is how we abide in Christ and how we walk as he walked. Jesus is fulfilling those prophecies in and through us now as he writes his word on our hearts and as he moves in us and sanctifies us through his spirit, through Christ dwelling in us. And so the presence of the Holy Spirit gives us light to see where to walk and how to live. When we spend time with him in his word, in his church, with his people, as we are gathered this morning, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, it becomes contagious and we start acting like him. In the same way, Paul explains in Galatians 5 that to walk in the Spirit will produce the fruit of the Spirit. He made this big contrast between the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And if we walk according to the flesh, then we will live according to the flesh. But if we walk according to the Spirit, then we will live according to the fruit of the Spirit, and which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. This is the result of walking in love and abiding in him. So that Satsuma tree of my grandfather's took time to produce that fruit. It didn't produce immediately, but it took cultivating it. It took growing. It takes water and good soil. The roots have to be in good soil, and they have to have water, and they have to have sunlight. There are many trees that can grow in the wild without cultivation, but everything depends on the environment that they are in. If they're not in this good soil, if they're not receiving sunlight or water, they're not going to grow or produce fruit. And the way that God has provided for us is to have the church, to give the cultivation so that we can produce fruit. And we cannot produce fruit without Christ in us. The water and light that will enable us to grow is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God himself given through the Word and his church. We need to feed on him through the water of his Word and his Spirit, and he will cause the growth of that fruit in us. And this light is seen in love, which was the last point in verses 9 through 11. Seeing the light of God enables us to love. John says in verse 9, if we hate our brother, we show that we are not in the light. And this is the third false statement that John is responding to, correcting. Again, he says, whoever says he is in the light but hates his brother is still in the darkness. If we hate our brother, it's a clear sign that we are not in the light. We are not seeing Christ. We are still in the dark if we continue to hate our brother. And Jesus also said, not only are we called to love our brother or our neighbor, but even our enemies. There is a love that Christ calls us to that is not like the world, that is not what we see in our world today. But he calls us as his servants, as his children, adopted by his grace, to be different and to live according to his love in his light. And his light is what enables us to do it. What does it mean to see the light of God? It's more than seeing the light of the sun that comes through the windows. What does it mean to hate our brother? It is more than murder. Jesus said, not only if you murder someone are you guilty, but if you hate them, if you think thoughts, call them a fool, in what he said in the Sermon on the Mount, then you are guilty. What does it mean to love our brother? And it's more than just giving money and food. What does the light of God do in us? The light guides us in our walk. It guides us to know what to do and how to love. It is a light inside by the indwelling of Christ by His Holy Spirit. C.S. Lewis gave an illustration in his book, The Screwtape Letters, kind of from the opposite direction. As Screwtape was an imaginary devil giving advice to his nephew, kind of apprenticing another devil to cause problems, to cause trouble and hatred. And in one of these writings, he said, the best way to cause hate between brothers is to maintain the idea that the other person ought to interpret his words just as they are spoken, but at the same time can take offense when he interprets the words of others at his own impression. For example, he says that you can say something that is not offensive at all on paper, but the timing and the way of saying it can fall like a punch in the face. And in that way, you can respond to say, but all I said was, while all the while knowing in their heart that it was meant to cause harm, hurt. And this is a way to say that we are loving our brother because what we said didn't matter. It didn't. On paper, it looks like it was fine. But to say that we're loving our brother without really loving them, just as the Pharisees obeyed without obeying, there are times, there are ways that it looks like John is calling us out that we may love without loving. And the Spirit is one who guides us on each of our ways of doing things, ways of treating others. And so I don't know, but the Spirit knows. And we can seek the Spirit and ask Him, just as David said in Psalm 139, search me and see if there is any hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And then in verse 10, he continues on. When Jesus dwells in us, His light produces love in us. The previous verses say that His light is purifying to cleanse us from sin. And now we see it changes us on the inside. The light will produce in us love for one another. And this love is the engine of missions. If we get in His light, just as Moses, his face shone with His light, if we get in His light and we see it, it will inflame our hearts with love for the lost, for others. And this is where it is the engine of missions. He will set our hearts on fire for Him and love to others. And then in verse 11, the lack of His light is the darkness that blinds us from knowing where to walk. John is writing to encourage Christians, but also to correct those who have left the community. And he says they don't even know where they are walking because they're in the darkness and their eyes are blinded. Sadly, many who are still lost don't know that they're lost. Their eyes are blinded and they don't see. And if we are not walking in His ways, if we are not abiding in Him, and if we don't see His light, then we are also in the darkness and don't even see our sin. But we can ask Him to shine His light, to enable us to see and to turn and to walk according to His ways. He's not saying that if we hate our brother, we cannot have the light of God. He is saying that it is obvious that the light has not yet shone, because if it had, it would have produced love in us. Therefore, hate is the proof that we are not yet in the light. We still need His light. And if this is the case, then we can repent and ask the Holy Spirit to give us the light to be able to love. The presence of Christ in our heart changes us and produces love for one another. It's a process. We cannot expect to arrive at perfection today or one day to another, but He will bring us to that end. Philippians 1:6 says that he will complete what He started in us. He will bring it to its end. And we can hold on to that promise from God's word that He will bring us to that end. Through our use of His means of grace, the Holy Spirit gives growth in this fruit. Preaching includes our not only that what we're doing right now, but also our daily reading of Scripture. The sacraments includes our remembering our baptism, and in the Lord's Supper we remember our purification by the blood of Christ. And in daily prayer we abide in Christ and live in the way of life of repentance. To take up your cross every day is to wake up in the morning and get on your knees before the cross of Christ in prayer, confessing and trusting in His intercession and His help to advocate and in His presence to guide us in the coming day. We need Him day by day. And this is how we can know Him as we walk in His Word by His Spirit working in us, as we abide in Him and walk in His light. And in the same way that the light gives us clarity to see, the love of God in Christ gives us love to be able to love. We cannot pretend to know God without actually knowing Him. The only way to see change in our lives is to be in His presence and to know Him and to listen to His Word. The Holy Spirit illumines His Word and will change us from the inside, dwelling in us and creating love for our neighbor. So just like that tree transplanted beside rivers of living water in Psalm 1, and that same image is also in Jeremiah 17. If our roots are in the water, and if the sun is shining on us, then we will grow and we will bear fruit. And He will light His fire of passion for His glory and for the lost to know Him. And then we won't be able to help but speak of His grace, of His wonders to the world around us. So are our roots in the water? Are we in His light? If so, then we will be growing. And if not, then we need Him to transplant us out of the desert and into the water, alongside the river. And may we be filled with His fullness and empowered to glorify Him in all that we do and to love our brother and sister as Christ loved us. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we praise You and thank You for giving us Your love.